everybody. And at the moment, it's not raining, so that's a nice thing. And we'll pretend that it's 65 degrees outside. Just got a couple announcements this morning. Home groups last week for the spring. So the last meeting of the spring will be this week, Tuesday and Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. I'm just kidding. Amen. So the Eastmans are coming. Yay. That's always an exciting time. Certainly we encourage all of you to come out for that. That's Sunday, June 1st. There'll be a love offering taken for them. And, you know, I would encourage you. I know that we have had the Eastmans on campus with us, and it has always been a wonderful thing having them there. And I don't know if I've ever shared this, but at the end, when it's the same format here, we will ask if anyone wants prayer. It's a prophetic prayer to come up, and it's incredible the amount of students that come up for prayer. In front of everyone. But it's a good time to invite a friend, so let's remember that. And we have some prayer needs this morning. Pastor Dick is out sick today, so we can pray for healing for him as we go through these things. And I know we have all of the names on this list that you can see. I'm sure there are people in this room that need prayer for different things, people on your heart that need prayer. And as I pray for these things, in your own spirit, lift up the people or yourself, the things that you know, and the people that you know that need prayer. And we know that all these people need something physically, but as we all know, spiritually and emotionally, those are big areas too that we want to see the Lord heal people. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that not only fights for us, Lord, but you came for our souls, you came to heal us of many things. And Lord, we lift up all the people, Lord, that are on this list to you, Lord. And Lord, we lift up the people, the unnamed people, Lord, that need a touch of your hand. And Lord, I just pray, we trust you and believe you, Lord. But Lord, we don't demand anything of you. You always make the right decision. You're always on time. There's always a plan, whether it happens to fit in our plan or not. Doesn't matter, Lord. You have a plan. Lord, I feel compelled to lift up those that need a touch this morning in their souls, Lord. Those of us, Lord, we all need to, on a regular basis, make you the center of our lives. Not just when we are reading, Lord, here at church, but in our day-to-days. In him we live and move and have our being. And I pray that we would remember that. My King, you sit in majesty in the heavens right now. Lord, they're crying out, holy, holy, holy. Right now that's happening, Lord, and continuing to happen. May we remember that. May we remember your goodness. And we thank you so much, Lord. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. The children may be released, and we have the pleasure of hearing the word from Tom this morning.
I didn't want to get in a traffic jam. I would have gotten mold, yes. And then I'd be limping up here. Be like a vaudeville show. Good morning, and I'm always glad to share the Word of God and appreciate the opportunity this morning. We're going to look at the character of Barnabas this morning. We will primarily read scriptures from the book of Acts. And one thing I enjoy about the book of Acts is it's kind of like the launching pad of the Christian church. You had Jesus ascending to heaven at the very beginning, and then in the second chapter, the birth of the church starts with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And it just grows from there. You have the stories of Saul, Paul going out and opening up churches throughout the Roman Empire at that time and the rest of the world. And people like Barnabas, who we'll read about in a few moments, who opened doors and also was somebody who was a support system. As we're looking at a year of discipleship, a lot of it is being a support system, and we'll look more into that as we look at the book of Acts this morning. So if you have an app with you or you have your Bible, that's where you can open your Bible to. And we'll do primarily most of our scriptures from there, but they'll also be on the projection system as well. So to open things up this morning, what I will do as a way of introduction is discipleship was the topic on our Facebook page this week. The title of the question was, in your own words, what is discipleship? And we had at least five responses, three from members of our church family, and they gave me permission to share their responses this morning. Pastor Dick said, sharing my life and Jesus with others. Sarah Melita responded by saying, I think of it as someone who is farther along in their faith, teaching another person what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The principles of our faith, Bible study and prayer, and what it looks like to love it, live it out each day. And then finally, Randy O'Donnell shared, it is being a mentor, accountability partner to a brother or sister in the Lord, walking with them and loving them through life's trials and difficulties, teaching and building them up so that they will in turn duplicate the same process over and over again. It began with Jesus and his disciples and has never stopped. Great outline example can be found in 1 and 2 Timothy and 1 and 2 Peter. So that's on our Facebook page. If you haven't visited it, it's simply New Covenant Community Church. If you do a search for Facebook, you can see these responses. Our Sunday services are also up there as well as our YouTube channel. So we continue our year of discipleship at New Covenant Community Church. We're being stretched in a lot of ways to exercise building relationships within our church community and outside the church walls. A challenge I find is to remember to be an encourager as part of the relationship building process. That's always challenging too. Sometimes you don't really feel like saying something to encourage somebody. But you know what? I find if I'm encouraging somebody else, it encourages me at the same time. Another challenge I find is to exercise God's grace when differences of opinion arise on a specific topic, but always keeping the glory of God, glorifying God in all circumstances. And we all have differences of opinion, no matter what the topic. You know, we all come from different lifestyles and we work in different industries. And a lot of it too was our family backgrounds. So sometimes with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we don't always line up with their thinking. And it could be just simply something like the version of the Bible you use for whatever reason. I have a friend who he refuses to use anything else but the King James. And when I worked with him, I'd oversee him at the radio station I was working at, and every time he'd post something in the King James, and we'd go back and forth on it, and I just finally said, okay, if that's what you want to do. And I always said to him, you know, we don't speak in Elizabethan, but he'd go on and say, well, it's the original. And I said, what if somebody new is seeking this page and trying to read it, but he goes, we're not really sending out the true word of God, and then I just gave up. He did his job. That was the important thing. more than anything else. He was a man who did his job, and I appreciate that. So when I thought of all that, I thought about Philippians 4:7, and the Apostle Paul writes, in verse 6, he talks about not being anxious, and then he leads into this, what's really a reminder to all of us where it all begins, the peace of God. And 4:7 reads, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard," there's the key word there, "guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." So if we can allow the peace of God to work in us, our hearts and our minds will be guarded in any circumstance or how we respond to a situation. So today we'll look at God's peace and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the character of Barnabas. I just love the book of Acts, because you really see the building of the church and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, starting with chapter 2, just building through the entire book. In the face of opposition, Barnabas remained encouraged, and that encouragement was received by those he encountered, as we'll see in the scriptures that we'll be sharing in a few minutes. The character of Barnabas, it's a model of our lifestyle at walking out and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's look at how Barnabas lived up to the reputation as the son of encouragement. Let's go to prayer. Lord God, we just put these scriptures before you, and we just pray that we will all be encouraged today, but we'll model ourselves to be encouragers and always be seasoned with grace when we deal with those that maybe have differing views in different circumstances. It's also Memorial Day weekend, Lord, and I just want to lift up those who are currently serving our country who have, and remember those who have fallen in the field to keep our country safe, and remember those fallen heroes this weekend. In your name, amen. So Barnabas is welcomed by the apostles as a person of encouragement. So we finally meet Barnabas in chapter 4. It's the last two verses of this chapter. So it reads, "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas," which means son of encouragement, "sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet." So Barnabas is called son of encouragement, and in the Greek, it's paraklete, to lay alongside. That's how it's addressed in the Greek, to lay alongside. And Barnabas demonstrated the spirit of God in this chapter by simply being generous. He took everything he had, according to these two verses, which was a field, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. He gave everything he had to God whatever you want to call it, money. Anyways, it was money. It probably come to me as I'm preaching here. But it was money. It's what he had it for, possessions. Let's use that word. And he put it at the feet of at the apostles' feet. So he gave everything he had to advance the kingdom of God. So what's interesting, when these verses end, we move into chapter 5. And it begins with the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They also sold some property. And in verse 1 it says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest of it and put it at the apostles' feet." As you go on and read that chapter, they are confronted. They lied to the Holy Spirit about not sharing their proceeds, their possessions, and they both died. I always looked at it as deadly deceit, God's warning about honesty and integrity. It's a real harsh story, but it's a reminder that God knows all, and he knows what we're bringing before him. He never loses sight of that, because he's an all-knowing God. So we learn that Barnabas, one of his qualities is his generosity, and it starts with all his possessions, all his goods at the apostles' feet. And then we find out Barnabas is giving somebody a second chance. He has a benefit of a doubt for a former enemy and demonstrates peacemaking in the process. So in Acts 9, 26 through 27, before all this happens in chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus, who was a bounty hunter, is confronted by the Lord. He is struck to be blind. Eventually, he goes before a man in the temple named Ananias, who restores Paul's sight. But God told him, Paul, or at that time he was known as Saul, that he would suffer greatly for the kingdom of God. So Saul is starting his ministry. He has been out in the Damascus area preaching, teaching. But he wants to be able to connect with the 12 apostles, and they know his history. I mean, he was the man who stood over Stephen at the end of chapter 8, just allowing Stephen to be stoned to death. So they have this image of Paul, and they're not sure where he's coming from. So Barnabas decides to step in, and by the grace of God, he says, I'm going to give this man the benefit of the doubt. So we start here in verse 26 with introduction of Paul. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So really, God appointed Barnabas to bring Paul into the fold of the Christian church and work with the apostles. And eventually, as we know, Paul was a giant in the field of missions, opening up many churches in the Roman Empire and the world as it was back in the first century. But the thing Barnabas was, he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit and advocated for Paul. And this is where Barnabas demonstrates peacemaking, by being obedient to the Holy Spirit's direction. And our hearts and minds need to be alert to the Holy Spirit's direction when God provides opportunity. It may not be a situation like this where we bring somebody in that people have doubts about, but you may be encouraged to bring somebody to a Sunday service or a church event, and you may be a little hesitant because maybe that person's reputation isn't the best, or that person is really afraid of what he's going to run into when he comes into that church setting or that church event. So in all things, we just need to encourage others to welcome that person and just be there with them. So we move on to chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. So Barnabas now tests the waters of the culture with the non-Jews, the Gentiles and Greeks, with great joy and success. So in chapter 10, the Apostle Paul had the vision from God with beasts and reptiles and birds, etc. He had come down in a curtain, and God just simply telling him anything that he created is for the good. Anything God has created is for the good, because there were a lot of Jewish traditions where you didn't eat certain foods or do certain things. And in chapter 11, Peter advocates to his fellow Jewish apostles that the gospel is to be shared with everyone. And that was, at that time, the Gentile world, which were Greeks and other non-Jews. And the disciples in the first century, it's interesting, after Stephen's stoning in chapter 8, they started going out and sharing the gospel. And they were already doing that, but yet Peter had to convince his fellow the friends in the Jewish faith that they needed to start doing that as well. So Christian Jews in Jerusalem were still not sure if God had ordained non-Jews to hear and accept the gospel. So in Acts 11, 22 to 26, we have another section of scripture where Barnabas, again, is following the leading of the Holy Spirit and God, and not afraid to be stretched to share the gospel and encourage others to. That's the important thing. He's encouraging, but he's also demonstrating. So in verse 22, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. So they've heard about all these believers in Antioch and great growth there. So they decided Barnabas needed to be the fact finder. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Saul had moved on at that point and was in Tarsus ministering. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So I wrote a question here for all of us when I was developing this teaching, and how are we to interact with a culture? And Pastor Dick has shared this a number of times, but not compromise the faith, but share and defend the gospel of Jesus with gentleness, love, and mercy. And that was a great example of Barnabas. He always had gentleness, love, and mercy, and he was willing to put that in the forefront. Even, we don't know because there's no video recordings or audio recordings, but I'm sure he met opposition as he was being gracious, and he just relied on God's strength to work with those that may be in opposition, and probably helped him to win others to Christ as well. Another important thing about Barnabas, besides being a facilitator and also generous, he understood the importance of working as a team. His integrity and honesty is again endorsed by church leaders in Antioch to further the kingdom of God. So let's go to that section of scripture, which is the 13th chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 3. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. There was Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and a Tetrarch is a provincial governor in the Roman Empire. So he had somebody who was on the inside with them as well, who had been exposed to the doings and the works of the Roman Empire, but yet this man was a part of ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a lot of our strong evangelists actually come out of maybe government or maybe some profession, and it's amazing how God uses them. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So Paul and Barnabas had been teaching for a year, and they were ready to dig up some more ground for the kingdom of God. And this is where we really see the first beginnings of teamwork. The two of them set out together. I'm sure there were others before this, but this is documented by Luke, who wrote Acts. And it demonstrated that two together bring that much more strength in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was a book written a number of years ago called WikiChurch by Pastor Steve Morrell, and a quote from it is, "The Church of Jesus Christ is about teamwork, discipling one another, being accountable to each other, being called to work together to advance the kingdom of God." And how true that is. I think of our home groups. We have such strength in our home groups that we can encourage each other and read the Word of God together. And then it allows us to move out of into the public square to minister to others. And the basic program too at SUNY Oswego. Anthony and Annette are ministering to these students, and these students go out and they start sharing their faith. And as we all know, and it's been mentioned here a number of times, our church started as an offshoot of the college. Pastor Paul Wagner ministering to students in a classroom setting and developing them into ministers of the gospel. One in particular was Peter Mayer, who pastored this church for a number of years. So that's what it's all about, teamwork, building people up, sending them out. So we're all getting along, we're all getting to know each other, and we're out there doing the work of God, but we have our objections, don't we? All of a sudden, our fleshly opinions come to the forefront, and we see this with Barnabas, as Barnabas expresses brotherly objection, but continues to build the kingdom of God. So Paul and Barnabas, in this next section of scripture, have returned to Antioch, and Paul is ready to follow up on the previous missionary stops. But now a crossroads hits, and it's all about the third wheel, John Mark. So Acts 15, 36 through 40, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Sicilia, strengthening the churches. So Mark's past failures kind of brought up red flags with Paul, and probably rightly so. And I know that in church leadership, sometimes when somebody maybe is being considered into a ministry position, sometimes you look at their pattern. And in Mark's case, he just took off. We don't know why. He just did. And Paul was just raised red flags. But Barnabas saw, through the Spirit of God working him, that there was potential for this man and was willing to give him a second chance. And he did. And what's interesting is Paul is ending his life. He's writing his letters to Timothy to try to encourage this young pastor in his church settings on how to minister. And toward the end of his life, Paul mentions Mark. And this is how he mentions him, in a very positive light. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. "Only Luke is with me," so Paul is writing from prison in Rome. "Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry." So we can see that Paul realized that Mark had grown. Maybe there were reports given to him, probably through Barnabas. And all of a sudden, he realizes this man is of value to him. He's been of value because he's been faithfully working in the kingdom of God and building the kingdom of God. There's so much here about Barnabas and Paul in the chapters prior to chapter 15, especially in chapter 14. I was reading through it this morning. And the two of them, something for you to go back and read later, the chapter 14 of Acts. The two of them are just ministering, and the Spirit of God is working in them, and you can see the growth in these churches. So they've spent a lot of time together building these churches, but yet they both come to a point where they don't think one person should be raised up. But yet they didn't give up their ministry. I mean, sometimes, you know, you put the boxing gloves on, you take them off, and you're done. But they didn't. And that's what God expects us to do. We're going to rub shoulders. I was mentioning this to Jan last week. Years ago, Pastor Mike Bartholomew had a men's breakfast. It was an evening event, a men's evening event. He was the guest speaker. And he talked about building relationships. And one thing he said is you get to know each other. You rub shoulders. And all of a sudden, you stink. I mean, and it's always stuck with me. You get to know each other, and you get to know each other's good side, and you get to know each other's bad side. And he goes, it stinks. And how true that is. Not stink so much in the smell sense, but you just don't like certain traits or opinions or procedures, how somebody does things. But through the grace of God, like Barnabas, we can bring that stuff to the forefront and move ahead. So to summarize the character of Barnabas, first, he surrendered his life to God. That is key for all of us. We've heard this over and over again from the pulpit. And he first said, okay, I think the big deal for him was to give up his possessions, his worldly goods, if you will, in chapter 4. All of a sudden, he just decides, okay, I don't need this, God will provide. He was very generous. And that was what we read in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 through 37. That's a challenge there. Could all of us sell our, let's say, our real estate, and we take the check from the bank to New Covenant Community Church? That's, you know, if God's calling us to do those certain things, those are the challenges. But that shows a heart of surrender. It is, for me, material things, you know, are important, but God has worked with me through the years to strip those of me and try to be generous where I don't think I am generous. And it's a work in progress. It always will be. Compassion to share the gospel with all. We saw that in chapter 11 in verses 22 through 26. He had the compassion. He was open to go out and work with Paul. He was open first to bring Paul into the inner circle, if you will, and then he was open to go out and advance the gospel and work with Paul. And that moves into being a team player to advance the kingdom of God. That was more so in chapter 13. In chapter 11, he was going out into Antioch and the backtrack there, and he was just building people up and encouraged by what was going on and sending back reports to the body in Jerusalem. But he also knew to be a team player to advance the kingdom of God, and that's where we see him teaming up with Paul. And then he was gracious to team up with Mark, despite the opinion of Paul in Acts 15, 36 through 41, which we just discussed. And there are probably other qualities, but these were the four that I picked up on in the scriptures that we read this morning. So through the direction of the Holy Spirit, Barnabas was obedient to follow God's call to advance the kingdom of God. Now that's a model for all of us at New Covenant Community Church, and I would say the body of Christ throughout the world as well. Just be an encourager and have these traits. The pastor can't do it alone. He needs us to be a team to work together. And Barnabas is the son of encouragement. I'm going to just share something here. It's a little, not so much a poem, but kind of a rhyme. This is from an article from a sermon, Son of Encouragement, by Alistair Begg, who's he's a pastor at Parkside Church near Cleveland, Ohio, and has a radio ministry, Truth for Life. And it says, dare to be a Barnabas. Barnabas would eventually join Paul on his missionary journeys, and he played a vital role standing side by side with Paul in the frontline work of the gospel. Yet we shouldn't overlook the vital role he played through his encouraging, his welcoming, and his joy to see men and women turn to Christ in faith. So he has this little rhyme, if you will, toward the end of this article. Dare to be a Barnabas, dare not go alone. Gather someone on your arm and make the gospel known. We need not be heroes, whether the world remembers us in a small thing in the light of the kingdom of God. Everywhere around us are people who need encouragement, who need a welcoming hand, who need the gospel that they've received. In the humbling self-giving that Barnabas modeled for us, let us serve them with the love of Christ. So the character of Barnabas continues to challenge and cause me to examine myself and petition God about my own failings of not being an ambassador for his kingdom. And I extend this challenge to all of us today. I thank you, and Anthony is going to close us in prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. That was an encouraging word. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you for that encouraging and insightful message out of your word. Lord, let us continue to keep you in the forefront of our mind in all we do, as we saw from that word of Barnabas's life, Lord. Let us always keep you first. Pray you bless the rest of our day, and Holy Spirit, we invite you in. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Have a great day.